welcome to the latest episode of Your Wealth with Gemma Dell, a podcast series designed to help you create, grow, and protect your wealth.
Hi, and welcome to Your Wealth. I'm Gemma Dell, NAB Trade's Director of SMSF and Investor Behaviour. It's getting close to the 30th of June, so today we're going to be discussing end of financial year strategies with Katie Whiffen. Katie is a hugely popular guest on this podcast. She's the founder of Money Eggs and the retirementblueprint.com.au, and she has decades of experience in asset management and personal finance. Katie, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Gemma.
Trying not to make you sound too old there.
Yeah, no, decades. Yeah, that's okay. It's fine. It's
more
true.
More than one decade old. Okay, so end of financial year, not as huge as 2017, so we had the fairly spectacular super changes last year. Still things people need to think about this year?
Yeah, lots. And I like to think instead of end of financial year, I think like it's a festival of tax optimization, because everyone loves a festival, no one really loves tax. So we've got to try and make it a bit of fun to get, because there is so much that you can leave on the table if you don't pay attention to the opportunities that are available to you in the run up to the 30th of June. So you need to pay attention to what's there and don't leave behind some great opportunities. And the key with the 30th of June for everyone is that 30th of June is a Saturday this year.
Right.
Most of the stuff with end of financial year needs to be done by the 30th of June. So if you're dealing with a lot of companies that are closed on the 30th of June, you need to make sure that they're all done and dusted by the 29th.
All of those points too around electronic transfers, BPAY, those
Correct.
Sorts of things, anything that's got a 2 to 3 day lead time. We do have the new payments platform. So certainly NAB, a lot of NAB accounts, but not all of them will do instantaneous transfers. But that doesn't necessarily apply to the person on the other end of the transfer. So you've got to make sure you know which ones will.
Absolutely. Just don't leave it to the last minute. It's the key call to action, right? Mm. So we're in May at the moment. So you've got at least 20 to 30 working days to get yourself into action to make the payments that you need to make to make sure that you're optimised for the end of year. It's just because it does fall on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Just be aware that you are one day short. So get yourself in order before then. And so you don't have to panic or worry about those cutoff times.
Okay, so quickly, why does 30 June matter? Or the 29th of June? Why does the 29th of June
because
matter?
Because that's the financial year for the ATO, that's the cutoff. If you want to have anything from a income and expenses point of view, if you want any deductions, any income, assessable income, it is all going to be assessed by what happened from the 1st of July 2017 to the 30th of June 2018. If you don't have it done by then, the ATO does not care.
And that's next year. We'll worry about that in a year.
So if you want to optimise for this year, make sure that you have everything done by the 30th of June.
Okay, lovely. So perfect time to think about income tax and how you've structured your affairs, best take advantage of the incentives that exist to help you save, not minimise your tax, help you save. One situation where you may need to spend money rather than...
Yeah, prepayments are always is a nice, easy one for people. So you can prepay, if you've got tax deductible interest costs, say on investment loans, maybe against a margin loan, then you can usually prepay interest for next year. Mm-hmm. You can prepay something such as subscriptions. If you can pay it this year, it may have a cash flow implication this year, but you can get the tax deduction in this year. Mm-hmm. So those type of things are the things that you might want to lock in now. Mm-hmm. If you're a small business, there's still the $20,000 write-off, which is great with the latest budget changes. It looks like that will continue for next year.
Yes.
I like to think of it as the JB Hi-Fi and Officeworks benefit because they're for buying those. But again, check what you can actually write off.
$6,000 toaster benefit?
You can buy $6,000 toasters.
Yeah,
you
knew?
Shop in a range that I didn't know existed, Gemma. You
I'm
really
not
do.
A small business owner, so no $6,000 toaster for me.
The other obvious one is, of course, income protection insurance for you personally. So income protection, business insurance, again, for your business account. But income protection, it's usually tax deductible. So again, you can look at making sure that that has been funded and paid this year, so you get the tax deduction in this year.
Beautiful. Okay. So thinking beyond the expenses component and making sure you go through, so the tax office, worth noting, ATO website is actually very good at articulating what you, I know, who'd have thought, but very good at articulating what you can and can't claim for different types of employment and so on. So you don't necessarily have to go and see someone to get information. It's actually there, and they'll often differentiate by different types of employment. Say you work in the media, this is what you can claim. You're working on the roads, this is what you can claim. You're a truck driver, whatever it might be. Also a good time to think about your portfolio.
Yeah, absolutely. Your investment portfolio. Look, this time of year, it's a great time of year to do a spring clean and just get yourself organised for the next year. Winter clean, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yes, so if you want to make that happen, you need to look at what have you got, where are your investments, what have they been doing for you? It's always a good time to check in. Most people don't check their portfolio daily. Great opportunity to look at what you've got, where it's exposed. Did you want to... Is that still in line with your short, medium and long-term objectives? Do you want to change it? Mm-hmm. The markets have been still relatively kind this year. There's been a few hiccups along the way.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't want to have too much stock-specific risk going on in some companies, which I'll remain unnamed this year. But it's one of the years for stock diversification in Australia. But you do want to make sure that, you know, everything that's in there is going to meet your aims and adjust if necessary. You know, it's always a good time to rebalance this time of year. Some things to think about, certainly if you have, you know, losses or gains, you might want to look at taking some realised capital gains. If you've got losses that you'd like to offset, it's good to look through your portfolio and see how you can optimise that as well.
Okay. So we say that to people every year, but it's just taking the time to think it through in advance and making that decision.
That's right. It doesn't take very long. You know, I think the longest time these days, because everything's available online, most things are real time or with a 20-minute delay. You know, the trickiest part these days is remembering the password if you haven't signed in for 6 to 12 months and then getting it reset.
So
it doesn't actually take that long to have a look, and you need to keep it tidy. You need to understand what's going on. And you might need to make no changes whatsoever, but it's great. It is always, you do get that sense of achievement. If you haven't looked at something for 6 months, you go in there and you see that it's higher, and you do get a sense of achievement about you've made the right decisions. And if some things have really run really fast, maybe it's time to get out of that stock, rebalance into other things in your portfolio, or if it's across asset classes, you know, rebalance so that you're back to the kind of asset allocation that's right for you.
Yeah, maybe take a bit of risk off the table
if you're worried about that. Yeah, and look, certainly last year when people felt the market was really peaky, there was a lot of people taking risk off the table last year. I personally haven't heard a lot of chatter about that this year, because there's been some specific bumps, I think, this year for some people in their portfolios. But yeah, it's still always good to have a review, up or down. Is this where I want to be placed in the market overall?
Perfect. Okay, so super is the one that we always mention, but there is actually a genuine change this year that offers genuine opportunities to actually save on their tax.
I know, and it seems relatively simple as well. So, you know, it's great. So the change is, there's a great benefit now where last year, as part of the superannuation changes, you can now get up to $25,000as a tax deductible personal contribution every year in superannuation. What does that mean? Well, so it used to be if you weren't employed and hadn't gone through salary sacrifice during the year to maximise your contributions, you couldn't then go and suddenly make your own personal contribution and get a tax deduction for it. It would just be an after-tax deduction. Now it's been made much simpler, so that even if you are not working, you can make a personal contribution, as long as you're still under, there's still age limits associated with that.
So as long as you're eligible to contribute.
As you're eligible to contribute.
You can now make a claim.
Contribution, yeah. So you can make a claim. So you make the contribution to your superannuation fund. Before you do that, let's go through a couple of steps before you go through this. So the maximum amount that you can get as a personal contribution this year is $25,000. So that's the maximum amount that you can contribute to superannuation and get a tax deduction for, or someone get a tax deduction on your behalf.
Yeah, so that includes your employer, right?
You're
getting $10,000 a year from your employer, and you want to claim a deduction, that gives you $15,000.
That's right. So say you're on $100,000, your company might be paying $9,500. That gives you that $15,500 additional that you could make.
Yes.
Now, if you had been super smart and super on top of everything this time last year, you would have called up your employer, the HR department. You would have gone through, as part of your salary package, you would have gone through using this as salary sacrifice. It would have been a lovely, nice cash flow throughout this year, so that you would make sure you were maximising your deductions. Few people appear to have done that. And many people actually weren't aware earlier, like, you know, 12 months ago, that this had come through. Now they're more aware of it because more and more people are talking about it. Mm. What that means for you now, so we're in May, so you're listening to this in June, your opportunity to actually call your pay team.
Two salary
sacrifice is quite low because in terms of them trying to actually make that change and also the size of the amount, if it is $15,000, that's probably going to wipe out more than your entire pay packet for the month.
Yes.
So instead of doing that, you could actually make your own contribution, call up your superannuation fund, take your money, give it to them before the 30th of June.
Yes,
so you need to be organised about this. By the 29th of June, make sure they receive it by the 29th of June. And then you can give them, you need to send a form in next year to your superannuation fund to say that you have an intention to claim a tax deduction against that money.
Yeah.
And then the government will give you your money back, the tax deduction amount back as part of your tax return.
Yeah.
So that way, even if you have missed the boat in terms of getting salary sacrifice and upping your salary sacrifice for this year, you can make that personal contribution, get a tax deduction, and overall from a tax perspective, it's exactly the same. If you haven't, or so that's what, that's the benefit. Last year, you wouldn't have been able to do this.
No.
Because it just wasn't on the table. So it is fantastic for those people. So that's if you're employed and you do have, you know, the SGC contributions going through and you want to make up that difference. But it's also awesome because for those people who have like intermittent income, the rule used to be it was a 10% rule.
Yeah.
Where it was just really complex.
So basically meant you had to be self-employed.
You had to be fully self-employed nearly for
the vast majority of your income from somewhere other than employment.
It was painful. So a lot of people didn't bother.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so so this is a great way now for people who are eligible. You can actually put money in and get it as a great tax deduction. So where it really works, we're now in a gig economy. There are more and more jobs that are part-time. You might have three different jobs and you fall under the category for SGC in all of them.
Yeah.
But if you've got the tax flow, the cash flow to do it, this is a great tax option for you. So that's the thing that's great on the table.
So worth noting for everyone, just a reminder. So when you claim a deduction for a contribution that goes into super, either you claim a deduction or your employer does, there is a 15% contributions tax payable on the way in. So your fund will withhold that 15%. So the sweet spot that Katie's talking about is you need to be earning more than the tax threshold that requires you to pay 15%. Otherwise, you may as well just keep the money. Putting it in super is not going to be more beneficial for you. Right. If you're earning over $250,000 a year, there's an additional 15% contributions tax. So the contribution tax then is 30%. Your personal marginal tax rate is probably 45 cents in the dollar. So you are saving 15 cents in the dollar for every dollar that goes in. But if you are below 250 and above, say, 30 or $40,000 a year, very important, then you are going to be saving anywhere between 15 and 30 cents in the dollar for every dollar that goes in. So the money's in super working harder for you, theoretically. It is a saving, which is nice for your retirement, but also you've saved some tax and you are going to get that back as a refund probably at the end of the year, or it'll wipe out tax that would be otherwise payable for you.
Yeah, so it is, it can be, it's definitely, definitely worthwhile having a look at that strategy. So what you want to do is call up your super, and there's a couple of really good housekeeping things to do. Call up your superannuation fund to just check how much has actually been made in contributions this year. While you are doing that, great idea to keep things tidy, check on any binding nominations that you have in your superannuation fund, because it's a great idea to do that. So if you, from an estate planning purpose, if you were to die, who's going to get your money?
Yep.
So it's a great time to refresh that. Great time to look at what you if you've got any insurances inside your superannuation. So fantastic time to check on that. Make sure that whatever your life insurance is, you're not paying, you don't have too little or too less. And likewise, if you've got any other insurance benefits inside your superannuation, check those out and make sure they're still worthwhile as well inside superannuation. So when you make that conversation, when you're thinking about making additional contributions, while you're on the phone, pick up the rest of that as well, because it keeps things nice and tidy for you inside super.
The other thing is, when you're on the phone, ask them to send you a notice of intent to claim, right? So you do need to get that form in that you've referred to when you are claiming a deduction, and you need to get that form in before you do certain things. Don't make a split to your spouse, don't roll your funds out to another super fund. Don't start a pension before you've submitted that notice of intent. And also don't put in your tax return before you've done it. So you've got to get that form in really early. My recommendation would be get it in as close to 1 July as you possibly can, just to ensure that you're not going
absolutely. To absolutely. So call your super fund.
End up with a non-concessional contribution that wasn't intended.
So call your, what we're saying is call your superannuation fund. Find out, just ask them a couple of those quick questions to make sure that you're on track and that you know exactly how much has gone into the fund. Make sure they send you the notice of intent. Fill out that notice of intent.
Yes,
I know, but I'm serious. Like lots of people get the information and they forget to do it. Fill it out, send it back, and that will just make everything nice and easy for you. We're making it sound quite complicated, but it's just a little piece of administration for you that will just save you a lot of headaches later on. And the reason is that sometimes superannuation funds and the tax office don't necessarily talk to each other as smoothly as we'd like, and these forms help make sure that both of them are talking to each other at the same time.
Yeah, well, they're prescribed in the legislation, so you have to do it. One thing, in addition to that, you mentioned salary sacrifice.
Yes.
There is nothing to stop you if you are getting employer contributions and your salary sacrificing, realising that you've perhaps contributed $21,000 for the year between those two amounts and saying, do you know what, I'd like to top up to the full 25 if you happen to be privileged enough to have that extra income that you'd like to get a deduction for, and putting in $4,000 and claiming a deduction. There's no reason why you can't use all of these things.
Oh, absolutely. And that's exactly why you want to find out from your superannuation fund. What have I contributed right now? Is there going to be a gap? Do I want to fill it?
Yeah.
And then going through the process, absolutely. And the key though for next year is you wrote a great article in Cufflinks around this.
Great.
But there were there was a couple of questions out of there, which was, well, why would I bother making the $25,000 deduction? Why wouldn't I just do salary sacrifice?
Mm.
And as you just said, it's not an either or.
Yes.
I'm a huge believer in salary sacrifice, where you want to have nice, easy cash flow over the year, you know what your cash flow is going to be. So if you are employed, if you've got a regular, reliable, repeatable cash flow, salary sacrificing your super to try and get you, you know, to maximise it as much as possible, setting up that infrastructure for your life makes it so much easier. That means you don't need to have a notice for it. Fantastic discipline. Then you don't need to do the notice of intent, any of those other kind of, you don't have to do it. It's all done on your behalf once you speak to your payroll and set those things up. But the only investment benefit, if you're doing salary sacrifices, that money will either go in fortnightly or monthly or however your payroll is paying it. You get the benefit of dollar cost averaging, whereas if you're just paying a lump sum, of course, you're just going in on whatever day that you're investing in the markets.
Yeah.
So there isn't any difference. The most important thing is that you know what you want to put into superannuation. If this is a great opportunity for you, maximise it, and just know now that you're not going to be left out if previously you didn't have SGC and you didn't meet the criteria for making personal contributions. It's much wider now, so definitely have a look, particularly if you're in your 50s and your 60s and heading towards retirement. The time value of putting money in, the time value of those tax savings right now, it's gold.
Yeah, beautiful. Okay, so a couple of other little ones for super. One is much more cool this year, spouse contributions, which we almost never talk about because they're small and boring. But this year looking a bit more interesting.
That's right. So now, if you have a spouse who earns less than $40,000 a year, you can make an after-tax contribution into their account.
Yes.
And what you get is you get a tax offset.
Yeah.
As part of that. So the tax offsets are already always lovely to have.
Mm.
Oftentimes with tax, it's usually, and superannuation, it's often one-on-one. It's all about you. The great thing with the spouse contribution is, of course, you can think more about yourselves as a family unit.
Yeah.
This is a great way to get that tax offset, boost your spouse's account balance at the same time.
Yeah. And the offset's up to $540.
$40, yes.
Prior to the $1.6 million cap and various other changes last year, we sort of got over this whole idea of trying to equalise balances in a couple. The idea was, look, it didn't really matter how much you had because everything was tax-free, so it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And now with so many different thresholds to consider with superannuation, having relatively equal balances, or not one huge balance and one tiny balance, is much more beneficial. So we're starting to think about this.
Yeah, absolutely. So there, as a couple, you now want to make it like there's a bit of an efficient frontier about boosting up the other spouse's balance.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, if you're a couple and you've been together for a long time, you know, if you're worried about divorce splits, let me tell you, in a divorce, it's going to be split equally.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
there's nothing to hide.
Don't worry about it.
There's
yeah.
nothing to hide. But it is a really good way if you want to boost that, to make that spouse contribution after tax, you can boost up your spouse's balance as well. And $540, nice to have free money when you can get it. Again, this is one of the ones where you don't want to leave stuff on the table. This is a really easy get to, and it's there to help you and your spouse as a family unit utilize the tax system and utilize the superannuation saving systems better.
It's also is one of the few mechanisms that is designed to support, I'm going to say women, because it's primarily women who have time out of the workforce and those sorts of things.
Yes.
And definitely who are on lower part-time incomes.
Yes.
That's designed to support them. The rest of the system is designed to support people who work full-time and have full-time employment. So
yes.
This is one of the few ones where there's something there to support people, but you have to have a spouse. That
absolutely.
Is quite important.
But if you're listening to this and you're the spouse, you know, you've got to ask the question, like, you know, why would we leave $540 on the table?
Yeah.
If I'm earning less than, you know, $40,000 a year, that's a really good boost to your income.
Mm.
Sorry, to your savings.
Yeah. As Katie's mentioned, the full rebate is $540, and you could be entitled to this full offset where your spouse's income is less than $37,000. There's a reduced offset that's still available if their income is below $40,000. So it cuts out above that amount in between $540 and zero. Co-contribution.
Oh, I like the co-contributions one because there is an absolute sweet spot for this. So, so if you earn less than, let's call it $36,000, you can make someone can make an after-tax contribution to superannuation on your behalf and receive up to $500 into your account.
You
receive $500 into your account. So let me explain how this works and give you a good example. So first of all, the only there's work tests with this.
Mm-hmm.
There's an age test, but the age test is at the upper limit. So you're looking at 71 plus, right?
Yes.
But there's no young age for it, yeah? But there is a work test.
Mm.
So what this means, and where I've seen this work really well, is say you've got good cash flow, you've got a 15-year-old daughter who's just started part-time work. So they'll have to meet the work test, but they've just started working part-time. You can, and they're earning less than $36,800. You put $1,000 in after-tax contributions, so you don't get a tax deduction for that.
No.
You put $1,000 into their superannuation fund and the government gives them another $500.
Beautiful.
That's the best returning investment that you are likely to get this year. Not that I'm I love growth assets, but you know, in terms of the benefit, that's got to be one of the
50%
guaranteed
return
benefits.
After tax.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, and that's where I've seen it work really well. Now, if you're that 15-year-old teenager who's just started, you know, working part-time at the local cafe, you might want that money for a car.
Yes.
But, it's fantastic, again, for savings. Mm. And that might be...
Very forced, because they can't touch it for...
They can't touch it for 60 years.
Yeah.
But it is a really big boost. And, again, it's a great way to get 50% uplift in your contribution in a really short space of time. So that's one way that I've seen it work really well. So just be conscious, there's no lower limit, but you can't just pay $1,000 into your grandchild's superannuation account and get $500. Yeah. They have to actually have that assessable income as per the ATO. So
but again,
for spouses, there's a whole lot of people that would be eligible.
Single people, right? You're young people
absolutely.
Who happen to have a spare $1,000. It's harder to justify when you're a young person doing it on your own, but
that's right. And remember, when it's in super, it's a lovely, lovely thing to do. And again, if you're coming up to the end of your working life, you may have switched to part-time income. Your income has dropped a little bit, but you are not on, and so you're down to that. At the moment, it cuts out at $51,000, but the benefits maximised at that $36,800.
Mm.
If you are, you've cut back your income, you're on that kind of income now. Why wouldn't you take
Why
it when
you,
super
right?
when you can access your superannuation just around the corner?
So
yes, I've seen people do it in that sweet spot where they've got cash flow and they want to do it for their children. Seen grandparents do it for their children. But if you're in that the 50-year-old working part-time, don't leave this one on the table.
Do it for
if you've got the cash flow, do it for yourself.
And a co-contribution.
And that's just it. You stack all these things up, okay?
Yeah.
So let's say that you are earning, you know, $120,000, and you've, so let's call it 100 grand. You've got $100,000, and you can then do your salary sacrifice and do up to $25,000. So you've got your SGC contribution, 9.25%. You can do another 15 grand into superannuation this year and get a tax deduction for that.
Yes.
For your spouse, you can do your spouse contribution.
Assuming they're working, but
assuming
not earning
they're
too
working,
much.
But not earning, but not earning. So say they're earning $25,000.
Yeah.
That will absolutely work for them, and they get that superannuation contribution, and then you can also then do that co-contribution for them.
Yeah.
So you have gotten great tax outcome for yourself personally because of the maximising up to $25,000. You've used your current cash flow to use the spouse contribution, and also then you can get the co-contribution benefit. These are things, don't leave it on the table.
Yeah.
It's there for taking. The government wants this to happen.
Yeah.
You just need to do a tiny little bit of admin to make it work for you.
To make it work. That's beautiful. So for anyone who is currently in pension phase, and there will be some people who are, very important to remember.
Yeah, allocated pension, the resetting. So it's the 1st of July is the actual, is the date where they look at your account balance. If you're in an account-based pension, they look at your account balance and they divide it by the pension, your pension valuation factor. What does that mean? So if you if your account balance is $500,000 on the 1st of July and you have to draw out 5% of that, then next year your minimum amount that you must draw down is going to be $25,000.
Yes.
What does that mean? You, depending on how you've structured your drawdown, so you must, the government, you know, it says, sure, you can have all your earnings inside your allocated pension tax-free, all happy days, just have to do this one tiny thing, which is make sure you take the minimum drawdown each year.
Yeah.
So $25,000, that might be plenty for some people, and they can't, and that's all they need. But for many people, it might be, you want to make sure that whatever you've got is at that minimum if you can afford it. Why? Because you then get to keep more inside this tax-free environment for longer, and you know, with you know, there's still the oldest Australian, still 112, it's got a long life expectancy. You want that money in there earning as much as possible for as long as possible for you.
But worth remembering that if you don't take the minimum, it's particularly relevant for self-managed super funds. Most public offer funds will just make sure you do.
You do,
yes. They don't leave that to chance. But for a self-managed super fund, it's easy to forget or to miss a payment or something, have it fall in the wrong year, and then suddenly that's treated like an accumulation balance. You pay 15% tax on earnings, so don't do that.
Yes. So look, self-managed super fund and pension phase, you must be on it all the time. Your administrator and your accountant should absolutely ensure that you do not miss a payment and that you get to that minimum. So if you're concerned about it at all, definitely go back to your administrator and your accountant and get it sorted. Because it's easy to miss in self-managed super funds when you might just have one person in drawdown phase and the other three might not be in drawdown phase. But absolutely, public offer, account-based pensions, they will make it happen for you.
Katie, thank you so much. Amazing tips as always.
Thank you.
Look, if you'd like more information, we've also published a video and some written tips for you on the NABTrade site, so you can visit our End of Financial Year Hub to see more. As always, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Your Wealth. We always love to hear from you, so if you have any feedback or suggestions for future topics, please just email us at yourwealth@nab.com.au. I'm Gemma Dale. Thanks again.
Thank you for listening to Your Wealth with Gemma Dale. To stay up to date, please subscribe to this podcast series or email us at yourwealth@nab.com.au.
Please note that any advice provided in this podcast has been prepared without taking into account your objectives, financial circumstances, or needs. Before acting, you should consider the appropriateness of the information. To find out more, please visit nab.com.au.